The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Feminist Book Club podcast, a show for dangerous, well-read women. Each week, we explore literature and media through a feminist lens as one small way to reclaim our time, our books, and our stories. Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. Renee Powers here. I am the founder of Feminist Book Club and your host today. I am so excited to share this episode with you. As you may know, our February theme for our subscription box is fat liberation. And while there is a distinct difference between body positivity and fat liberation, it's always a wonderful time of the year to celebrate self-love. And so today, Ariella Elovic is going to give us just a big old dose of loving your body exactly how it is through a discussion of her book, Cheeky, which is a graphic memoir and so, so fun. I laughed out loud and then passed it on to Lucy, our director of operations, and said, you have to read this. I think you'll love it. So stay tuned for that. But first, if you haven't heard the news, in March, we are teaming up with Decentered Lit, which is a subscription box, book box, just like ours, based in Jamaica that celebrates Caribbean literature. So our March theme for our subscription box is Read Caribbean. Shout out to Book of Sins on Instagram, Cynthia, for creating this hashtag and this movement and encouraging us all to read more Caribbean authors. So we are going to be celebrating all things Caribbean, bringing a little warmth and hopefully island life to our very, very cold late winter / early spring. I don't know about you, but today when I'm recording, it is not even 0 degrees in Minnesota. So I've really been loving working with Kaymara at Decentered Lit, discovering Caribbean-based businesses and Caribbean-American businesses to really infuse some sunshine into my days these days. So I hope that it brings you a little sunshine as well. You can sign up for that over at feministbookclub.com/shop and use code podcast for a little discount, just as our way to say thanks for listening. So again, our March theme is Read Caribbean. The box is co-curated with Decentered Lit. Go check them out as well. They are Decentered_Lit_JA, as in Jamaica, on Instagram, and we'll link them in the show notes. And they are sold out for March for their book box, but definitely, definitely get on their wait list for the summer. They're a quarterly book box, and I absolutely love it. Everything that has shown up on my porch from Jamaica has been such a delight, and I've really enjoyed the book selections and the products that are in it. So if you love Feminist Book Club, definitely go support Decentered Lit as well. All right, now here is our episode with Ariella Elovic, author of Cheeky. Hi, everyone. Today, I am chatting with Ariella Elovic. Ariella is an illustrator, author, and founder of The Cheeky Blog, an online platform through which she seeks to combat the shame so many of us feel in relation to our bodies. Her work has been featured by The New Yorker, Teen Vogue, and BuzzFeed, and her debut book, Cheeky, a head-to-toe memoir, just came out from Bloomsbury, and we're so excited to talk about it. Welcome, Ariella.
Hi.
So the first question that we ask everyone is, what does it mean to you to be feminist?
I think in general, just keeping a very open mind, and while keeping that open mind, really questioning and investigating beliefs that you have and figuring out, you know, where the root of those beliefs come from and kind of just investigating what frames the way you look at the world.
So tell me about Cheeky. Give our audience an overview of what to expect from this book.
Yeah. So this book is my own personal investigation into figuring out like what happened to that feisty, young, confident girl that I once was. When I was younger, I think you know, people would maybe, and I myself would have maybe described me as bossy and not stubborn, but very confident. And I think as I got older, a lot of those characteristics slid away. So I, through the book, wanted to go back through each, as I structured it, each chapter of the book is a body part. So kind of going back into each body part and examining where I felt at home in my body. And then as I grew up through, you know, I'd say like preteen through college, how the outside world told me to, or how I inferred to kind of reject my body and retreat into it and feel less confident and less like myself. So I go through those moments. And then I also, at the other side of it, go through moments that helped me, whether it's, you know, making songs up about my body or conversations with friends at dinners that kind of brought me out of that retreat and out of that place of rejection and into a place of confidence and joy and feeling at home in my body again.
Yeah, I think joy is such a great word for this. It feels like that's the thread that is, every chapter is seeking that joy. And we see you experiencing glimpses of it as you kind of unlearn these messages that so many women and people in femme bodies learn over time. I'm struck by the fact that it seems that you grew up in a very accepting environment. You know, your mom is in the sciences and she seems to be very cool about using like correct language and no shame about farts and poop and blood, you know?
Right, right.
So where do you think you learned these messages about body shame?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and it's funny because when I was writing the book, my mom was like, well, where did this come from? I'm so confused. And I think what Cheeky does a good job of is basically showing that it signals from outside world that just permeate. And I think, you know, looking back at girls' magazines now, like 17 or Cosmopolitan, even that I was reading at camp, it's really shocking how prescriptive they are about how you should look. And not only how you should look maybe from women, but also from men. They would have these panels of guys that would kind of talk about what's attractive for a woman to look like. So I think just being surrounded by this idea that my body was something for other people to approve of, and my body was something that would bring me validation, I think was just really hammered into my brain early on. Yeah, I think that that's mostly where it came from.
Yeah, but we're just kind of exist in this culture of people telling us that we're not enough or we're too
much. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I want to get back to Cheeky is a graphic memoir. It is an illustrated memoir. It's beautiful. I love your illustration style.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process? We've had a couple of graphic artists on the show before, and I'm always fascinated by how a book like this gets made. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if I had told you 5 years ago or told myself 5 years ago that I'd be putting my naked illustrations of my naked body on the internet and kind of proudly owning my tummy rolls or my pubic hair or my nipple hair, et cetera, I think I would be absolutely shocked. And I think it kind of started as this therapeutic exercise that I was just posting on Instagram. And I think, you know, the birth of that was really trying to share the spirit of my close female friendships with other people and try and spread that sense of community and acceptance. So it started really as me just painting, you know, different conversations we'd had or different things I realized about my body that, you know, I wanted to, in a fake it till you make it kind of spirit, brag about or celebrate. And before I knew it, it was just this like all-encompassing, almost addicting type of activity that I just couldn't help but keep doing. And I think after, you know, 5 or 6 months in, I wasn't thinking twice about it. I would even, it was funny, I would go into work and I had some friends from work who would follow me on Instagram and they'd be like, oh, I saw, you know, your full frontal, whatever, last night or something. And I think I just kind of stopped. It desensitized me to it in a really exciting way. And I think when it came time to write the book and kind of think about, I wanted the book to be this kind of casing of how I got to where I am now, and kind of a nice, again, an exercise for myself to kind of investigate how I got from where I was even just 3 years ago to where I am now.
When did you start creating, like illustrating, just generally, how, what got you into art, this medium?
Well, I've been interested in art and drawing and painting since I've been very young. That's always been my favorite escape. And, you know, my childhood bedroom was always my place where I would turn to. And, you know, my floor was always covered with art supplies and things like that. But I think after, and I went to school for it too, I studied communication design and illustration. And after college, there wasn't such a clear career path, but I just kept painting and kept drawing through all the day jobs I've had. And yeah, it's kind of just always been an outlet for me.
Okay. So as someone in this space, I get the feeling a lot of times that my hobby has now become my job, right? That I don't necessarily always read for pleasure. I always read because that's my job now.
Right.
Do you feel that with this book out in the world, with, you know, the cheeky blog, does that take away from the joy you feel in art, or is it just amplifying it?
It's usually amplifying it, just because I do have so much fun with it and I find new ways to maybe be shocking even to myself and push those boundaries. But there are, I think with using social media, there is an aspect of it that can feel somewhat draining, or why am I even doing this? And there was a point where I would get very tough on myself of, you know, you've only posted once this week, you need to post more. And I think what's been very helpful for me in quarantine is because of this time warp, and because of, you know, I think we all just have such limited bandwidths to give a crap about anything that isn't serving us. And so I think through this period, I've let go of the pressure to need to post X amount of times. And it's been a nice return back to the beginning of Cheeky, which really was what makes me feel good, what's healing for me. And now I'm trying to recalibrate and have the work feel more like an outlet. And that's when the work is better, when I'm kind of trying to process what's going on and use writing and illustration as a way to connect with other people who are probably going through very similar things.
I love that you brought up quarantine, because I have a specific question about that. And you submitted some topics too that we could talk about. And we were both kind of in this space that I think when I was reading your book, that there are so many things that you stop maintaining because, you know, the world tells us that we need to maintain our bikini line, or, you know, I am also a mustachioed woman, and like
maintains a good word,
hairless face. Do you think quarantine has helped kind of speed up that process for others or for you? How has being isolated really kind of forced us to accept our bodies as they are?
Yeah, I think that's one of the silver linings of being in isolation. And it's funny because I started off the COVID experience at my mom's house back in my childhood home. So it was this very interesting, like, return back to where this all started. And I was there for like 5 months. So I really had a full like childhood regression immersion experience. But I think, you know, I let my unibrow go out, which is not usually something I do. And I let my upper lip hair grow out in a way that, you know, I wouldn't typically have during a week if I was going into work. But I was showing up on Zoom calls. I mean, you can't really tell. It's maybe like a little bit more shaded looking on my upper lip. But I think it definitely, I hope, is helping people think about what makes their body feel more like home for them. So I know for me, there are times when I feel like shaving my legs because I like rubbing them against each other in my bed by myself under my covers. So, but then, you know, I'm never going back to shaving my armpits again. I mean, never say never, but I can't imagine doing it anytime soon because they get so itchy and then the deodorant irritates it and it's a whole thing. So I think, I hope what this time is giving people is really giving them the opportunity to recognize how much their body is just for them. And that's, it's a new concept for a lot of people. It's a new concept for me. And even after writing this book, I was seeing quarantine as like, okay, Ariella, this is the test. Like, have you really, like, what else do you have to let go of? What else do you have to make peace with that this time is kind of forcing you to do or allowing you to do, I guess I should say.
Can you tell us any of those realizations that aren't in the book?
Yeah, well, this one kind of is surrounding food, but I think even when I was feeling pretty happy with myself, or not happy, but at home with myself or comfortable with myself, there were still some foods that I'd had rammed in my brain as like off limits to have. And a lot of my friends went through these phases of, I had all these arbitrary rules of like, I could never buy a loaf of bread. That would be crazy for me to have in the house. I could never have cookie dough. I could never have boxes of cookies. And during this time, it's been very freeing to just say, have whatever makes you feel, brings you joy, have whatever you feel like snacking on. I've really like let the guardrails off with food. And I hope that I keep that up just because it's such a headache to have to think about and police yourself all the time about stuff that just doesn't matter. And I think I've stopped trying on, like, I think I had this one pair of jeans that I would try on to kind of gauge. I threw away my scale a while ago. So instead of doing that, I shifted to trying on this pair of pants to see if they're bigger or smaller or whatever. And I've stopped doing that. But yeah, I think a lot of things surrounding food and weight were definitely lingering.
Yeah. I started buying just like packages of Oreos and Chips Ahoy early on, and I have not stopped. And
what flavor Oreos? Classic or?
Classic. Although I will say that my Oreo White Whale is the s'mores flavor.
I haven't had it, but it sounds so good.
It came around in like 2017 just for like, I don't know. Maybe I imagined it, but I swear I bought like 3 packages and I've never found them again. I love it. But no, I'm not going back. Like, there's a small joy having like a little, you know, sweet sugar rush on the counter all the time. And if that's going to bring me, you know, a smile in the middle of a busy day, then absolutely I'm going to keep that up. I love that I love that we're on the same page there.
I've also found that I've been, and I don't know if the Chips Ahoy and Oreo is a nostalgic food for you, but I've been turning back to like Captain Crunch and foods that I ate when I was little.
For sure. Yeah. Chips Ahoy definitely is nostalgic. I don't think I ever say no to an Oreo though.
Oreos are amazing. They always will be good. Yeah.
And they are coming out with a gluten-free version soon.
Really?
And so all of my gluten-sensitive folks and celiacs folks. Yeah.
That's exciting.
We can share that with you. So I want to talk about some specific things in the book that I just want to share with you that I loved and felt really like seen in. There's a moment.
Oh, I love that. Great.
Where you have a page or two of, you call it your leak log. And so one of the chapters is about vaginas and your vagina, but also just like all things female reproductive systems. And you illustrate all of the clothes and bedding that you have ruined with your period.
Yeah.
And I just have to share, like, I was so struck by that because I remember distinctly, like, sophomore year of high school, I had these fabulous pink and green plaid capri pants.
Oh, no.
That I went to turn my test in geometry class, Mr. Davidson. And I had bled through those just like darling, that limited two outfit was just gone.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about because I might have had those same pants.
A little bit of a flare at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. So there's so many real moments in this book of just you see yourself in. If you grew up anytime in the 90s or 2000s, like, this is very close to home. Another moment that I loved is you take a perspective that is so individual. So self-love isn't about how you should love yourself. It's about finding your own path and your own way to, as you say, like, become at home in your body. And one of the things that I thought was so brilliant is you mentioned that pedicures are great. Like, that's fine. That's something that some people love. It's just not for you. I think you say it's objectively a good treat, but it just doesn't, it feels like a waste of time to you. And I love that. It's like, everybody thinks that when you do like self-care, it's a bathtub, it's a pedicure, it's whatever, but it's like, no, it's whatever makes you feel good.
Exactly.
So what are some of those things that you are doing to take care of yourself, to honor your body, to feel more at home in your body that aren't kind of mainstream, quote unquote, self-care rituals?
That's a great question. Now I think I would love a pedicure.
Same.
But outside of that, I honestly, I love just mindless television with a good noodle or some sort of starchy something. I'm really into the bowl type right now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's really, really healing me right now. And I really do miss moving my body. I think living in New York, I would walk all the time. And I think my body's definitely starting to feel it. So I was trying to do yoga in my room in a very small strip of space between my bed and my dresser. And it just didn't feel right. And so lately I've just been clearing out a section of my living room and just moving my coffee table aside and putting out my mat and then doing some like Palo Santo wood every once in a while. And that's been feeling really indulgent and really, I guess, closest to yoga studio I can get. So I think a big thing I've been learning is nesting and really investing in my home and buying a new lamp if I want it, or just, you know, moving around furniture that I've always wanted to move around. Yeah.
So you're making your home in addition to your body, your home.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So I'm curious first off, would you be willing to share your age with us?
Oh, yeah. I'm 29.
29. All right. I'm 34. I feel like I needed this book maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think a book like this would have meant to you as a teen, a girl, young woman, in different times in your life? Do you think that it could have helped the way that you feel in relation to your body now?
Yes. I think when I was younger, and I'm talking even kindergarten through middle school, my hairy arms were like the worst thing I could imagine. I hated them. I would sit and hide them under tables when I was with people. I hated spring and summer because I had to wear short sleeve shirts. Like, all of my hate of warm weather was because of exposing my body more. Now that I'm older, I really understand that. So I think as a younger kid, there were so little examples of hairy women around me. So I think having a book like this would have totally changed my mind about how I was supposed to look. And I think for our age bracket specifically, it was the OC. So it was like Misha Barton and all of these rail thin blonde women, which is totally fine to look that way, but it just felt like I had to look that way. So I think as a young girl, that would have been very helpful. And I think as a high school, college-aged person, I was really, the concept of me making my body look good for a boy felt so normal to me. And I think it would have been sadly earth-shattering if someone were to say, Ariella, your body is for you. And I think that's a realization that I've had, honestly, probably in the past 5 to 6 years over time. I think even 4 years ago, I was going on dates thinking, you know, what kind of person does this person want me to be? Instead of going in saying, am I connecting with this human being? So I think I just had such a distorted idea of what made me a valuable human being. I definitely think it would have shaken me and given me a nice reality check a bit.
Yeah, same. One of the things that I think I needed, I mean, even a year ago, let's be real, is just the understanding that bodies are gross.
Yeah, they're really gross.
They're really disgusting. And like, what if we just embraced that and normalized how gross we all are?
Yeah. No, it's like they're wet and hairy and
poopy
and yeah.
They smell weird. I love that there are just like, one of the things that you do in this book is you just like normalize the smell of bodies, like your friend's boobs sweat and like your vag sweat. Like it just farts. It just is what it is. I felt so seen. And there's a picture of you in your parka on the subway. And it's just like, it is just a little sleeping bag of farts. And that's, yep, been there. Totally get it.
Yeah.
Do you think that that is, I don't know. Do you think that, why is that revolutionary? Why does that feel so revolutionary?
I don't know. And I think I'm curious how things will go after this period of time is over or starts to be over, because we've all had to come to terms with all of those things, whether we like it or not, in a much more intimate way. And I feel like people have opened up a bit more about, now that we're not dressing up for each other every day, I think there's more realness coming with our bodies now, hopefully.
I hope so too. I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to a real bra.
I don't think I can. I really don't think I can.
So I want to end us on one of my favorite threads throughout this book is the Yentas, your group of friends that you've known since you were a child. And can you tell me about and tell our listeners about how they have shaped you and the importance of these relationships in your life?
Yeah, I mean, camp was a really special experience where you're with a group of people, in this case, women, for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you're not doing your grooming or your dressing and like squishing your body into pants privately. It's all happening out in the open. So I think what was really groundbreaking for me going to camp is just being in the presence of all of it. And there was a friend of mine who also used bleach on her body hair. And I think being exposed to all of this grooming behind the scenes work. And yes, like we were bonding on these rituals of changing our bodies in some way sometimes, whether it was shaving or putting makeup on or whatever. But I think it was really eye-opening to have this level set of, we all have human bodies. They all do all of these things. And I think that type of environment fostered such a closeness with these women in a way where we just talked about things that happened with our bodies that I'd never heard people talk about and I'd never spoken to anyone about. And I had this one friend in particular who was just always really, she would just be like, hey, have you guys ever, you know, pulled a huge clump of hair out of your butt when you're in the shower? Like she would just
have that exact conversation.
Yeah. And she would just come out and ask these questions. And I think as a kid who was very shy and very, I really kept to myself at school. And I think having these people surrounding me, kind of bringing me out of my shell, was really, really helpful and just made me feel so okay in whatever body I was in that day. Like whatever my body was doing was fine. And then I had another friend who's also one of the Yentas, who one day I was having a really awful flare up of some sort of IBS diarrhea situation. And I was in the bunk and I knew I was going to be in there for a while and everyone was leaving to go to lunch. And she handed me Pepto-Bismol under the stall and was like, I'll just be waiting for you here. And she was super chill about everything that was going on and just treated it like it was just normal. Like your body's having a moment. It's okay. And reconnecting with them that in New York as adults was just this really awesome moment. And I write about this in the book, but there was a time where I leaked a bit of period. And by a bit, I really mean a quarter. Like it really was not a big deal, but it was my first boyfriend. And I was really, like really embarrassed by myself. And I was really apologetic and I was like, I'll buy you a new set of sheets. I'm so sorry that this happened. And he, being just, I think he was just trying to go with it. So he was like, sure, I'll send you a link. So he sent me a link to the sheets and I bought him a new set of sheets. And when I was rehashing the whole situation with my friends, they were like, Ariella, has he never heard of Tide to Go? I don't understand. Like, this is not a big deal. And in that moment, it kind of made me realize, you know, yeah, it would have been great if he'd said, Ariella, you're a human being. This is so normal. It's so not a problem. But at the same time, I can't put all of that need of accepting myself on another person. I think it needs to come from myself. And in that moment, I was kind of like, I kind of need to own my period. If I can't own my period, no one can own my period. And also on the flip side, I wouldn't want someone kind of patronizing me and saying, you know, you really ought to love your body more. I don't want someone ever telling me that in that type of tone from a man in a like a heterosexual situation. It's just not what I want. So I think that was a big, big learning moment of, you know, this is your shit to stand up for. Like, this is your body to own. This is your body to love. This is your body to celebrate and not feel ashamed about. And so I think having this kind of council of women in my corner to come back to and also check myself against has been incredibly helpful. And I think, you know, those women can, you know, I think it's not like you need four best friends that you grew up with. I think it can be easily folded into how you speak with yourself or the media that you choose to surround yourself with. I think we have a lot of control in this situation too.
Yeah. Yeah. May we all find Arientas in this lifetime.
Yes.
How does it feel now having this book in the world? I mean, yes, the Cheeky blog has been around. Yes, you've been writing and illustrating these topics for so long, but this is a different medium. What has that been like?
Well, I'm really excited about it. And I think it's also giving people a larger holistic view of where this is all coming from, because I think, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like I've always been happy to share this type of information. So I hope that it gives folks some, I don't know, some hope and some clear pathways of, you know, you don't need to wake up being this way. I think it's a process, and it's not going to always, I'm not always cheeky and, you know, I love this about me. I think sometimes I hit a little bit of a wall and I talk to friends or I remember the one illustration I made that made me feel better. So I think what I hope the most with it being out in the world, I'm just excited for people to read it and hear how people are reacting to it. And I really hope I can get it into like some young girls' classrooms and get people talking about these topics.
Yeah. Again, just so many resonant, familiar moments. Also, I have to give you a shout out for the first time discharge has made sense to me, especially the sticky hand discharge. I was like, that's it. That is it.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't talk about discharge enough.
Oh, no. Anyways, well, we are winding up on time. And so I have just a final couple of questions for you. The first is, do you have a book to recommend to our audience that you've loved that's not one of your own?
Yes, I actually just started reading a book called Sweet Time and Other Stories by Wang Pixin. It's illustrated also, but it's a compilation of all these really sweet, intimate moments in relationships and in nature. And it's just a really beautiful, touching book. And it just feels like a nice, nice, relaxing read.
I love that. It sounds like perfect for a new year, actually. One of my goals is to read more graphic novels or memoirs. So I'm going to be looking into that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we will leave a link to that in the show notes, as well as Cheeky, a head-to-toe memoir. And where can we find you online if we want to connect further?
So my Instagram is at the Cheeky Blog. And I have a personal Instagram account too, which is at Ariella Elevic. But Cheeky Blog is where I post all of my bodily fun things. And my website is ariellaelevic.com.
Perfect. We'll link all of those in the show notes. Ariella, thank you so much for joining me today. This was such a delight to read and to talk to you more about it. And I hope that our audience picks it up for themselves or maybe some of the younger women in their lives.
Yes. Yes.
Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening to today's show. As always, a rating and review in the podcast app of your choice goes a long way in supporting feminist media. We'd love to have you join the Feminist Book Club subscription box, a community-driven subscription box which features a book of the month and products from women and queer-owned businesses delivered directly to your doorstep. This is an easy way to vote with your dollars, as you'll be supporting this podcast, small women and queer-owned businesses, and the charity beneficiary of the month, which receives 5% of total sales. Use code PODCAST for a discount on any subscription package. Learn more about The Box and get the show notes for today's episode at feministbookclub.com. See you next time.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.